Wish to greet each one again this morning in the worthy name of our Redeemer. It's good to have everyone here this morning to worship our King. It's good to have Dan's back. Glad to have you back with us for a few days. And looking forward to hearing this evening some things that are going on in Haiti. I'm going to speak this morning on something that I shared on over 40 years ago, and it's the first and only time I ever did. In fact, I looked for this numerous times, and I was not able to find it until a few weeks ago. We were studying in the Psalms in Sunday school, Psalms 119, and there it stood out to me. And so I decided we're going to share on this. That time when I shared it, I think it took me 20 to 25 minutes. This time it's going to be two sermons. A little more in detail. And so what we want to look at this morning is Psalm 119. And I'm wondering right off, how many people have ever read Psalm 119 through in one sitting? Quite a few. I have only done it a couple of times. But when I saw this, what I want to share in the next couple of sermons is I saw by reading Psalm 119 in one sitting and meditating on that. What we are going to be doing is looking at each stanza of this psalm individually, but want to look at it and see how it connects together. And I see a beautiful picture of the Christian life from before new birth to basically the end of life. And the many aspects of the Christian life that we all experience. And it has blessed my heart. It did over 40 years ago, and it still does. And it has blessed my heart in looking at this again in the last couple of weeks. This is a lifetime of service to God. It is also a lifetime of Satan wanting to destroy that, and we'll see that in this psalm as well. It is a progression through this psalm from the before the new birth as a, and we'll notice this morning, as a child, as a young person, is looking at the scriptures and anticipating something in the future, but can't understand it. Sometimes our school will be up here singing songs that they have not experienced. Songs of salvation and walking with God that they have not experienced. But yet they're looking at that in the future. And that's the way this psalm begins. Many of the things the psalmist experienced, we can relate to in our experiences of life. The temptations, the trials, the victories, the joy. And it goes on and on. His predominant thought is the power of the Word of God. And we're not going to be looking at that in general, but that underlies every aspect of this psalm is the Word of God. And I'm not sure yet, I may look at that a little later on here after we get through with this. I'm not sure. It's kind of been in my mind. This word needs to be a part of our life in order that we can, in order to be of value to us. The Word of God must be a power in our life in order for our life to be of value, or of the Bible to be of value to us. It needs to be a part of our lives. So that's an introduction. This morning, I'm not sure how far we'll get. We'll go as far as we get and stop there, and hopefully be able to finish it next Sunday. Stanza number one. Who can tell us what these little words at the top of the stanzas are? Some of you young people. Anyone know? Just raise your hand if you know what they are. Do I not see any hands? Okay. What are they? They're the Hebrew alphabet. How many letters are there in the Hebrew alphabet? Do you know that? 22. That's right. Can you pronounce the Hebrew alphabet? No, I can't either. And I'm not going to be trying on a lot of these because I know I'll mess them up and probably will even the ones that I think I know how to pronounce. So each stanza in this song, and I would understand that it has that this was sung in services. So how long do you think it would take to sing this song? It takes quite a while to read it. It would take a lot longer to sing it. Probably longer than some of the songs in the Ostbund that the Amish have to sing in their services. I'm not going to read all of this, but we're going to be looking at some of it, and you can follow along. Sometimes I'm going to be starting with a verse in the middle of a stanza and going back and going forward to get the thoughts that we're trying to find here and get a blessing from it. In verse 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed are the undefiled. The children are undefiled. Satan has not come into their life and spoiled them, but they are walking in the law of the Lord as it is given to them by their parents, as they are taught by those who are their parents and possibly others. In verse 5, it says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." And so we notice here that we, in this stanza, that we have a couple of words that are very important, even for a child, to know and to understand. One is to walk, not necessarily talking about our walk with our feet, but to go through and to do the things that they are called to do by their parents and to keep those rules. Now this is talking more vague, more large than that, but it is talking about us as that we would walk in the paths of God, and then that we would keep his statutes and live for him and abide in him and be a blessing to others. The second stanza, want to look at verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. My whole heart I have sought you. But maybe not really understanding what I am searching for and seeking. I have sought you my whole heart. How much is that? How much attention is being given by searching with our whole heart? It's 100%, isn't it? It's all we can give. Now, when our granddaughter knew that the cat had kittens, someplace, but didn't know where, she spent a lot of time looking and listening for those baby kitties because she wanted those baby kitties. And that is the desire that God wants from us as we are seeking Him, that we would put our whole desire into that and be continually looking and trying to find Him. In verse 15, it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditation, they tell me, has a lot of value to a person's physical life. Won't get sick as much if we meditate. Now, they're talking a lot about meditations of being, and this is the position that I see a person sitting on the ground with their hands out like this and staring into space for hours. And that's supposed to have a healing effect on a person's body. Meditating on God, giving Him our undivided attention. Turning the cell phone off, being in a quiet place with the Word and just meditating on it. I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditating in itself is really not as valuable as it is if we put it to practice and respect God in His ways. Third stanza, verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And I'm going to read verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. I am a stranger in the earth. We are called as Christian people to be strangers and pilgrims in this land. We are called to not be here as a citizen. Should I ask Dan how it is to be in a strange country? Do you feel like a citizen of Haiti, Dan? No? How about Sharla? Do you feel like a citizen of Haiti? You're a resident there when you're there, but you're not a citizen, are you? There's strange language. There's strange cultures. There's strange things that we don't understand. He says, I am a stranger. I'm not at home. I'm not among my peers. I'm not where I want to be, but at least I'm not at home. But he says, don't hide your commandments from me. Though I am a stranger here, I still want to find that place with you, God, and listen to your commandments and walk with you from day to day. My soul breaketh. What is he talking about? My soul breaketh for the longing that I that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. I see a person here that is so interested, and I don't know what words to use to describe it. That's not a very good word. So inflamed with the commandments of God, with the Word of God, that he just says, I'm longing for it. It reminds me a little, and a few of you probably knew Fred Hostetler. When he first became a Christian, he had to leave home because his parents would not allow him to stay at home. And so he boarded with an older lady. She wasn't as old as when I boarded there. But he would have slept in the same room that I slept in for 2 years. And she always liked to tell the story of how he would come downstairs in the morning and he would see it pouring down rain. He'd say, hallelujah, go back to his room because he couldn't work on the construction job that day. And he would spend the whole day in the Word of God. He would just study it and read it and meditate on it. And I didn't know him then, but I learned to know him later. And I really appreciated his encouragement and strength that he understood from the Word of God. That is something that every one of us has at our fingertips. But we need to take the time, and we need to take the energy, and we need to have the desire in order to get that accomplished in life. We need to be a stranger in this world. And if we're not, we will not love the Word of God because it will show us that we need to make a change. We will not allow our heart to be broken by the Word of God if we are not a stranger. Stanza 4. And I wrote down wrong references here, I see. And I don't... No, I didn't either. I didn't either. I'm right. How about that? For a change. Verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Notice the word have. If we are a child of God, if we have... invited Christ to come in and cleanse our lives, and we are starting to walk with him and are walking with him, we can quote this and we can say it with this psalmist, I have chosen the way of truth. I have made a deliberate choice that I'm going to leave the way of the world and I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. And verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments. So we make this choice that we are going to walk with God and we're going to allow God to teach us and to penetrate into our hearts and to make us that new creature that he wants to make in us. And then we are stuck right there. I have stuck under thy testimonies. What are you when you're stuck? You can't move, right? I read a story last night about, I think it was six men that went into these caves. They call them cavers. They go into these caves, and this one they are in is in Vancouver Islands, and is one of the most dangerous one there. And one of the men got stuck in a small spot in that cave at about, I don't remember what it was, 200 feet under the ground, and he was stuck. And the water was rising, and he was in water, and it was very scary to read it, let alone to be in it. Kind of ridiculous, I think, but anyway, he was stuck. He couldn't move, and they had to come in, somebody from behind him or in front of him, I never did figure that out, and get him out of there. Two of them were stuck on a ledge that was at a 45 degrees. They had their feet holding them on the other side of the wall on the other side of the cave to hold them there, and the water was rising, and they were just barely able to keep their heads above the water when it started going down. They were stuck. Are we stuck with God? Are we not going to move? And this is going to be a stuck that we decide, because the Christian life is something that we can just do, and we don't have to live the Christian life. But are we stuck with God today? Are we unmovable, as another term I could use? And then I notice this word in verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. Normally we talk about walking the Christian life, but I like this thought of the psalmist here. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments. I'm going to put forth a lot of energy. I'm going to exert myself. I'm going to do everything I can. I want to get there, and I want to get there fast. So I'm going to run the way of thy commandments. Is that our desire? Is that our anticipation? Is that what we're looking at as a Christian life, is running the race that the Apostle Paul talked about, running the race for the prize of eternal life and joy in Jesus Christ? That is determination. And that takes determination to run that race and keep on running that race. Even when it gets hard, we still keep running. And we get tired, we keep running. And we keep on it, keep after it, we say. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Teach me. Seems like we never get through needing to be taught. The children go to school and they get taught and they get taught all week, all winter long. Come springtime, they're ready to get out, the books are behind, and I'm going to get on and I'm going to have an enjoyable time this summer. But guess what? They need to be taught something. And one thing they need to be taught is how to work with their hands instead of their minds. Their job all winter was to work with their minds, and now they have to work with their hands. Maybe they have to be taught how to run a lawnmower. And you boys get taught how to run a lawnmower? Or did you just always know it? No, you had to be taught. And so the psalmist here is saying, Lord, teach me. Tell me what to do, how to do it. Teach me all the aspects of the Christian life. In verse 34, we have the word give me. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding. Teach me, and then give me. Give me this understanding that I don't have. I don't know it all. I don't know enough. Give it to me. Show it to me. Open up the way so that I can understand it and so that I can live a profitable life. In verse 35, we have the words, make me. Make me to go on the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Now these men that were in the cave, when the first two were going back out, all of a sudden they came to a fork that they didn't remember was there. Now which way do we go to get to the ladder that takes us out of this cave? They had to do a little bit of backtracking. They had to do a little maneuvering and figure out how to get out. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. A lot of times in life, there is a fork in the road. We could go this way, or we could go this way. And though they may look like this, pretty much the same thing, they're going to take us two different directions. And we don't want to take the wrong one. But how do we know which one to take? So often that's the question. How do we know? Which one do I take? Which one is the right way? Which one is the best way? They both look good. They both look like they'll take us to the same place, but we know that they won't. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. And so what do? Do we stop and ask God, which way do I go? This way or this way? Sometimes we need to ask people, which way is the right way to go? Which way? You ever get lost in a place where you've never been? Maybe a city? I remember I had directions one time to get to a place, only I didn't have the directions. The other man had the directions, and he was in another truck, and he said, follow me, I've got the directions. He made it through the first traffic light, and I didn't. That's the last time I saw him for a while. Finally, I got to, and I knew a couple of things. I'd heard a couple of things when he was talking on the phone to get the directions. And I stopped and asked a man. There was one man walking down the street, and I asked him a question. And if he knew where there was a business that had the word Pacific in their name. And he said, see that building? Go on the other side of it. Go up there and go around the other side of it, and you'll be there. That's where I was supposed to be. Sometimes we have to ask to get directions. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Open up the way so that I can see it. In verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. And that is another thing we need to ask God sometimes. Close my eyes to these things that I would like, but that are going to take me away from you. Close my eyes for the things that are distracting. Close my eyes to the things that will take me to eternal destruction rather than to glory and to walking with God. And in verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Establish your word. Take your word and make it a part of me so that I can understand it, so that I can walk in it, so that I can live for you and abide in you and have you as my God. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Turn away that reproach that I'm afraid will come if I make this decision. If I say I'm going to do this, whatever it might be in life, and all of my peers are saying we ought to do this, he says, turn that reproach away from me so that I can walk with you. I want to live for you. I want to be a blessing. I want to serve you, Lord. But also, we're so afraid of the reproach that could come upon us. Verse 40, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quick me in thy righteousness. Young people, can you say, I have longed after thy precepts? I hope you can. I couldn't when I was your age, because I wasn't longing after those, their commandments. I was longing after popularity. I was longing after having a good time, but not after the commandments of God. And so we have those seven things, seven requests that we have for God. And a desire to be taught. Stanza 6. And this will be the last one for this morning. Verse 42. We'll be looking at most of the verses here. Verse 42 we'll start at. And we have the thought of trust. And as I was meditating on this, I was thinking of our baptismal vows. The vows that we made and do make when we are baptized, and there are many others, but that's one that came to my mind. And we see here, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 I's in this stanza. I trust, I have hoped, I shall keep, I will walk, I will speak, I will delight, and I will lift up. And there's more to those. But those are just the first few words. These are commitments that we make in life. We made on bended knee in the front of the church, in front of a host of people, that we will, and I didn't take the time to get the book out, or I would have thought, I didn't think about it, I should say. Or I would have brought that this morning and read those baptismal vows. But verse 42, I shall have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. I will have understanding. I will have the Holy Spirit within me so that I can answer the man when he asked me. A Jehovah Witness man came to our house a number of years ago, there where Tim and Melody live. And he was an older man. He was probably my age then. And he stepped up there and he says, I have been looking for the time when I'd get to talk to the man that lives in this house. Well, he could have come any time. He lived just a mile and a half down the road. He could have stopped any time, but he had to have this commission, I guess, to come. Anyway, he stood there, and there's a post, two or three posts that supposedly hold the roof up. And he stood there with his arm on that post and his head in his hand like that. And I don't know how many questions he asked me about our faith, our church. One after another. His partner, who was younger, got impatient with him. He said, "We've got to go. We've got to go. Let's go." And he just ignored him and kept on asking questions. I had an answer for every one of his questions, and it was a scripture verse that I had never memorized. For every question he asked, I had a scripture right there to answer him that I had never thought about before. So how did I have it? The Holy Spirit brought him there, and the Holy Spirit wanted him to hear these answers, and he gave them to him straight from the Word of God. And I think I quoted all those verses correct, but I don't know. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. When we are walking with God, God will give us the answer. He told us, don't consider if you're called before a judge. Don't consider what you're going to say. I'll give it to you. And he is faithful to do that. Verse 43, and take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Don't leave me. Don't take your word out of my mouth. Don't take it away from me and leave me all alone. That's putting it in my words. God said, I won't do that. He has given us his word so that we can live for him and we have the answers that we need. I have hoped in thy judgment in that verse. My desire is that your judgment would be in my life, and that word judgment would have the thought of his word. Verse 44, I shall keep thy law. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I will keep your law. I am convinced I am going to go on. I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to keep your law. I'm going to live it. It's going to be my guide, and I'm going to continue on in it. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty. I will walk at liberty. When we are keeping the word of God, when we are keeping his law, then we are in liberty. We have liberated ourselves from the world, from Satan's kingdom, from that which destroys. Verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will speak of thy testimonies. I don't know why these thoughts are coming to my mind all the time. And I'm speaking here. I never thought of them before, but it was in an airplane here a while back. It's been a few years ago. And a man sitting beside me started asking me a lot of questions. And his friend set up a little ways on the other side. And he, every once in a while, he'd look back there and he'd say something to me about this man that was beside me. He was just asking his goofy questions, but they were spiritual questions. And I think there were questions that were in his mind. But And this other man says, well, boy, I don't remember what all he said, but the comment was about me having to put up with his friend. And whether I was, you know, ashamed of him asking these questions, well, no, I was not ashamed of it. In fact, he told me that toward the end that he has talked with a lot of people, and I had the most sensible answers or something like that. I don't remember how he said it. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments. Do we love the word of God? Is it a real chore to read the word of God? Or do we delight in it? Do we enjoy it? Do we enjoy coming to church? And sitting here and having somebody tell you things that you never asked for. Is it a blessing? Is it a pleasure to study and to read the Word of God? The psalmist said, I delight in it. Fred Hostetler delighted in the Word of God. And other people, we delight in it. And if we don't delight in studying the Word, what do we delight in? We're going to love something. We're going to find something that we enjoy. And there isn't anything that has life like the Word of God. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. My hands will I lift up. Lift up their holy hands. And so that is one thing we need to do. And these are promises that we make for God, to God, that we will do these things and we will continue to walk with Him and to live for Him throughout all of our days. It's been a real blessing to have older people, 80, 90 years old, that have been faithful to the Lord all their lives, and talk with them and receive encouragement from them. And God wants us all to be that kind of people. Shall we kneel for prayer?